the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with the Damian Collado. Hey, Damian.
Good morning. You ready for a weekend, I hope, huh?
Yes, I am, and I have been enjoying this weather. It's been wonderful.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoy it. I know everyone is, and it's hard not to, and you still have a few more days to enjoy it, so it's going to be all the way through the weekend. We'll get into that in just a moment. But we're going to begin with a prayer from St. John Henry Newman. And this is a prayer called to unity. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, when you were about to suffer, you prayed for your disciples that they might all be one, as you are one with the Father and the Father in you. Look down in pity on the many divisions among those who profess your faith. Heal the wounds which the pride of man and the craft of Satan have inflicted on your people. Break down the walls of separation which divide Christians. Look with compassion on all souls and bring them together under the Holy Catholic Church. Through your Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. John Henry Newman, pray for us.
Pray for us. We'll learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show. But we are jam-packed today, Damian. We're joined by Judge Bernadette D'Souza, and she's going to talk about the 69th annual Red Mass happening at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans coming up October 4th, which is coming up. It's hard to believe September is almost over and October is just around the corner. So I'm excited to talk to Judge D'Souza. Gary Zimek is a speaker and author, and he's actually on the road today to a Catholic man conference in the Northeast, so we'll find out where Gary's going. He is over in New Jersey, but he's everywhere, so I'm excited to talk to him, and he has a new book called Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, so that's going to be a great interview. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, will give us a recipe we'll try this weekend. And Jennifer Prather talks about theology of the body training happening in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So they're actually Zoom trainings, so you can watch it from the comfort of your home. So if you want to learn more about the theology of the body, you can tune into those, and we'll give you details. But just a little sneak peek, they're on our website calendar, so you can go ahead and take a look at those, ccradio.live. But Damian, the weather, like I said, it's just so nice.
It's sunny, and that's about as short and brief as you can get, because there's nothing else to add to it other than enjoy it. Highs are going to be a little warmer as each day goes by toward the weekend, but expect it to be in the low 80s and then eventually in the upper 80s by Sunday. And the lows are going to still be in the 50s. So in the mornings, you'll wake up to a nice, crisp morning. Get that walk in while you can. And temperature-wise around the area, New Orleans is the warm spot, 65 degrees right now. Home of Thibodeau, Bay St. Louis, it's 62. And Baton Rouge, it's cool in 56. And pretty much clear skies across the board.
Yes, not a cloud in the sky yesterday. It was absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And we're just a couple of weeks from our fall drive time. It runs Tuesday, October 5th through Thursday, October 7th. We'll have guests every hour to help raise money for Catholic Community Radio because we rely on listener donations. So as it gets closer, we'll give you the lineup, but save those dates. It's going to be so much fun to listen to. And it's a blast to be a part of. Well, we have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 9. Once when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel gives us a short version of the longer passage in St. Matthew's gospel, where Peter acknowledges Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. St. Luke gives us the additional information that Jesus was praying before he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus' reliance on prayer is a powerful lesson for us. Jesus' true identity was hidden from the crowds. They associated Jesus with prophets like Elijah or with John the Baptist. Now we might say in our idiom, well, they kind of placed Jesus in the Hebrew Hall of Fame. He is much more than that. Peter got it right when he responded, "You're the Messiah of God." The Old Testament is filled with prophecies about the future Savior, who will be called the Anointed, the Messiah. The first prophecy was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God said to the devil, "I will place enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Mary is that woman. Jesus is that son. After the kingdom of Israel was destroyed in 722, and the kingdom of Judah was crushed in 586, the prophets began to speak about a shoot that would come from the stump of Jesse, David's father. Passages from Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah also spoke of the Savior as the bridegroom, a term that Jesus applied to himself. The prophet Isaiah also spoke of the Messiah as a suffering servant, language that is also found in some of the Psalms. Daniel spoke of one like a son of man, who will be seated beside the Father and comes on the clouds of heaven. So while these prophecies all look to Christ as their fulfillment, Jesus instructed his disciples not to disclose his identity at this time in order to avoid confusion. After Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, and ascension, his true identity would be fully revealed. Inflamed by the Holy Spirit, the apostles would share the story of Jesus, the divine Son of the Father, the Messiah, and the heavenly bridegroom. And they would take this story throughout the Roman Empire. It's amazing that it's a story that still inflames hearts today. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. We're joined now by Judge Bernadette D'Souza. She is a chief judge at the Orleans Civil Court. And today we're talking about the 69th annual Red Mass happening over at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, October 4th. Good morning, Judge D'Souza.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you with us, and I love talking about these Masses. So tell us a little bit about the 69th annual Red Mass coming up.
Okay. I think it's going to be a very special Mass this year because the Red Mass, as you know, is a solemn votive Mass, and the votive indicates that the Mass is offered for a very special intention, along with celebrating at the beginning of the judicial year. The Red Mass is attended by judges and lawyers and officials of all faiths, basically for the purpose of invoking God's blessing and guidance in the administration of justice. But this year it's very special because we will be praying for those that have been affected by the devastation of Hurricane Ida and the subsequent storm, Nicholas. The very special guest homilist is the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron. He's going to be our homilist. He was supposed to be here last year, but due to COVID, wasn't able to travel. So we are all very excited to hear him speak at the Red Mass this year.
Wow. Okay, so Bishop Barron and then Archbishop Amen is going to be there. What does this Mass mean to you personally?
Personally, it's very special to me because I, when I was in law school and I graduated, my first Mass, my first Red Mass, was at the St. Louis Cathedral as a new lawyer. And over the years, I've never missed the Red Mass. And it was truly very humbling for me when I was asked to serve on the board and now to be the president of the organization as a judge. So it is very special. I ask God for blessing each year as we all open our courts. And so it gives a lot of meaning to what we do day in and day out. More particularly, the work that I do as a family court judge, I gather a lot of strength and grace from prayers and from a daily Mass that I also attend each day. So this is a very special moment for me in my life.
Do you have to RSVP to attend this? Is it open to the public? Who can attend?
Yes, it is open to the public.
All right, wonderful. Okay, so it's happening on Monday, October 4th. It starts at 9:30,
yes.
But I would get there early. Judge Bernadette D'Souza, thank you so much for joining us, and you can count
you
on our prayers.
You are most welcome. Yeah, you are most welcome, and thank you so much for your kind invitation to speak on your radio show. Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. You can also check this event out at our website at ccradio.live. Under the events tab, click on our calendar and just scoot on over to October 4th and you'll get all the information on there. There's links and everything you need to know. But we have our saint of the day coming up right after the break, and Gary Zimak joins us. It is 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 24th. Today we celebrate St. John Henry Newman. Born in London in 1801, John Henry Newman was first ordained as an Anglican priest. Over time, he became convinced that the Roman Catholic Church was in closest continuity with the church that Jesus established. At age 44, Newman became a Roman Catholic and joined the Congregation of the Oratory. 2 years later, he was ordained a Catholic priest, and in 1879 was named a cardinal. Newman founded oratory houses in England and served as rector of the Catholic University of Ireland. He also wrote poetry and novels and published 8 volumes of sermons. Called the absent father of Vatican II, Newman's writings, especially on conscience, the vocation of lay people, and the relation of church and state, helped shape many of that council's documents. 3 years after his death in 1890, the first University Newman Club for Catholic students was established. Today, many ministry centers at public and private universities and colleges bear his name. Cardinal Newman was beatified in 2010 and canonized in 2019. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado, and I'm so excited to welcome over the phone Gary Zimak. He is a speaker and author, and today he's talking about his new book called Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, and he's a good friend of Catholic Community Radio. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Gabby. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you on the road right now?
Actually, I'm not. I changed my plans. I'm going to be going on the road in just a few few minutes. Headed to Connecticut today to speak at a men's conference.
You change your plans on me. Okay, well, we're excited for you, and we're praying for safe travels.
Tell us about
your new book, Journey with God. I was excited when I saw this on your social media.
Yeah, Gabby, I'm so excited about this book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. You know, a lot of my, throughout my life, I've been on this quest to find peace and happiness, and I've tried a number of different things, and really the only thing that brings that peace and happiness that I was looking for, that lasting peace, is a relationship with God. And this book is about breaking down that relationship. I break it down into three familiar components: knowing God, loving God, and serving God. Do those things, you're going to find the peace that you're looking for. So that's what the book is. It's a simple step-by-step approach on how we can know, love, and serve God.
Garrett, you've been very vocal and opening up about your anxiety and how your journey with anxiety has helped you find peace and happiness with God.
Right.
Kind of tell us about that, and do you incorporate that in your book as well?
I do, Gabby. In all of my writing and whenever I speak, I try to keep the message as relevant, as practical as possible, because I know that people are hurting. People are hurting. They're looking for something. You know, we've all got something missing. Until we find God and have that relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, we're going to have something missing in our lives. And that's what I try to do. I try to give people hope and lead them to the Lord, because ultimately all of our hope is in Him.
Now, Gary, you mentioned to know God, love God, serve God. Let's start with the know part, because so many people have a hard time truly developing a relationship with Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And why
it's
is
tough,
it? What's the
it's
reason?
Tough.
We don't make the time, or we just feel like He's not present, you know, in our lives, and we can't see Him face to face. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think you answered the question, at least in my opinion. I think the difficult thing is to have a relationship with an invisible God. You have to look beyond what you can see. You know, the world is just so much more real than God at times. You know, even for those of us who believe, when I get a bad medical diagnosis, when I'm looking at my bank account and it's getting empty, when I'm turning on TV or listening to the radio, these problems, these difficulties, these struggles, they are so real. They can become so much more real than God. And in order to have a relationship with an invisible God, you have to do some work. And when it comes to knowing Him, I decided to break this book down into three sections. And in the knowing God section, I broke that down into three chapters. And these are three facts that I felt are critical to know about God, especially for those of us like me who tend to be anxious. The first is, we have to remember that God loves us. So I need to know God loves me, that God is with me, and that God is more powerful than my problems. You know, if I can remember those three facts about God, and I break these out a lot more, then I'm really going to be on that road to knowing Him and being at peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gary, are there steps that we can take? You know, many of us have family members who have fallen away from either the church or even believing and knowing God. But you talk about in your book how real God is, and that's true happiness and peace, which I agree with you there. You know, what can we do when we're talking about family members and finding that peace if we're struggling personally with where they are in their journey?
Yeah, that's the first thing I think we need to do is make sure that we are working on our relationship with the Lord. And I really work on my relationship with Him. Every day I wake up early and I spend time with Him through scriptures, through prayer. My wife and I pray together every morning. And so then when we have that peace, then we could share that peace with others. But as far as family members, when we watch family members who may have left the church or maybe just don't care about God at all, it's tough because we want to tell them what we have because we want to help them. But I think the best thing we can do is, by our example, we show them what it's like to have a relationship with God, and we pray for them so that their hearts can be open. Because until their hearts are opened by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. You know, and that's what I've found. When we're ready, we know where to find God. And I know that's the case in my life. When I was ready to start listening and get serious, then I found them. But until then, I didn't really care that much, you know? So it's tough with family members, but I think you can't continually preach to them because you're going to turn them off. Yeah. But I think just by your positive example, and maybe throw in a statement here and there about your faith, a recommendation, but then just pray for them, because nobody can stop us from praying for them. And mm-hmm. I like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So how do we start? I mean, there's so much noise out there. Social media. If we haven't figured out that the news will always go into another cycle and there will always be something else to talk about, it's never ending. So how do we start that peace? And like I said earlier, you have experienced this yourself with crippling anxiety, and it's never going to go away, Gary, but you know how to control it.
Exactly.
So tell us, what did you do?
Well, you know, I think the key is to turn off that TV sometimes. And to unfollow a few people on Facebook. I've been doing that a lot lately. You know, it's just like, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't necessarily want to unfriend them, but I don't really want to see what they're saying sometimes. And limit your exposure to social media and the world, and replace it with time spent in God's Word and in prayer and daily Mass, you know, and confession. If you start doing these things, you're going to be more peaceful. More God equals more peace. That's what I found. And we can make that choice. But it's a conscious decision. It's a tough one, because I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed. We have to be informed. But around here, my family and I, we limit how much time we spend watching the news. We barely watch it. We watch the weather, and that's pretty much it. Because it's just,
really,
you know,
important.
You focus on that stuff. You fill your head with that junk of the world. And it's all bad news for the most part. That's the way you're going to think, and your emotions are going to respond, and that's how you're going to feel.
You would be amazed what happens when you turn off the news, but still staying informed with what's going on in our world, in our country, but turning it off, it's an amazing feeling, and you won't miss it. I don't miss it. I know what's going on in the world, but I don't miss watching 4 or 5 hours of the news a day. But Gary, okay, so when is your book coming out, or is it already out, and how can we purchase a copy of it?
Gabby, it's already out. It came out a week earlier than expected. So I would say the easiest thing to do is go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, and I have a link right on the website that'll take you to Amazon to pick up the book. But it's already selling well, praise the Lord. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. At one point in time, you're probably still number one in Amazon as far as spirituality, Christian books and in that category. But I think this is a great book. For ourselves, especially as we get closer to Advent. And then you have some really great resources. I know Lent's pretty far away, but it's going to be here before we know it. You have some resources for Lent, for us to get closer to God.
I do, and I'm already getting geared up for Give Up Worry for Lent 2022. I've got, I'm headed your way for, I'll be down there for just about a week, and have a lot of parish missions lined up. I still have a few openings, though, in case anybody's interested, and we're going to do it. We'll Give Up Worry for Lent once again for the fourth year in a row, I think, now. Incredible.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, Gary, your website. Tell us about your website, because there are ways that we can follow you, newsletters, social media, limiting our social media. Gary's a great person to follow, but also taking a look and keeping up to date with your publications as well.
Yeah, Gabby, thank you. It's followingthetruth.com is my website, and I do have a daily email reflection. I send that out once a day. It's free of charge. And you just go and to the website, provide your email address, and I'd be happy to ship it out. That comes to your inbox every day. And then I also have my daily podcast. So there's a lot of ways that I try to connect with people who are hurting. And you know what? It's working. I get a lot of emails. I'm not the only one who struggles with the problems of the world. So followingthetruth.com. And I always encourage anybody, if they're struggling with anxiety and they're looking for a place to turn, just shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'd love to hear from anybody who's going through this with me.
Well, Gary, we're so glad to have you. Real quick, I want to wrap up on serve. We got 1 minute. How can we serve? Because that seems to be very tough in today's world. We want to pray. We want to give money. But serving is the key.
You know, it starts, I think, Damien, the easiest thing is to look around you, look at your family, look at your circumstances, look at the office where you work, you know, just your neighbors. We can serve God in many different ways. I go into some specifics in the book, but he, you know, that's part of the relationship. Once you know him, you fall in love with him, and then you want to help him. You want to help him to share the good news. Even a kind word on social media, Damien, is a good place to start serving God.
Oh, I like that. And that we can do, right?
That's right. Well, don't even have to leave the house.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure, my friends. God bless you all.
God bless. All righty. It is 7:30 on Wake Up. We're going to be back with the Catholic foodie, Jeff Young. He's going to have a recipe or two for us, so stick around for that.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Clearly threatened by Texas law and pending Supreme Court cases, a eugenic abortion industry is demanding unregulated abortion and unlimited access to population control. A Friday vote in the U.S. House on the Women's Health Protection Act seeks to go far beyond Roe v. Wade and eliminate any regulation over abortion in America. Nancy Pelosi seems sure of Friday's vote, but her bill faces a tough road in the U.S. Senate. The bill makes no mention of the human life terminated in abortion. Planned Parenthood is suing Missouri for a law that says people may not terminate a child's life before birth just because someone discovers a fetal anomaly like Down syndrome. Not content with merely a legal defense, Attorney General Eric Schmidt has produced a video offering a tender and beautiful look into the lives of families blessed with Down syndrome. The video is at lifenews.com. This is Life News Radio. News at Life News Radio should make you think, and often it should make you think about calling your elected officials in Washington, D.C. So remember this phone number, 202-224-3121. Let your senators, your representatives, hear from you. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Abby Johnson and former abortion industry employees like her are celebrating that over 600 workers are free from the tragic experiences and moral problems inherent with abortion work. They affectionately call one another quitters and met in Dallas earlier this month at the first ever Quitters Ball. Abby Johnson's ministry is called And Then There Were None. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning again, everyone. 7:35 on this Friday morning. Wake up and time to get rolling. And to help you do that for the weekend especially, we have our regular guest, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, as he's better known, and we are excited to hear what he's been up to. We have not had a chance to talk to Jeff in a couple of weeks. Jeff, how are you doing? The fact that things are finally getting close to normal for you in New Orleans?
Well, I mean, I guess they're getting close to normal. I mean, traffic is just unreal. I don't know how it is in Baton Rouge, but I think a lot of it is just, you know, a lot of workers on the road trying to clear debris.
Yeah.
A lot of lines, power lines, communication lines that are down, and they're having to close roads here and there to work on that still. And, you know, traffic's just been unbelievable, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because, you know, when you're sitting in traffic, you could always just pray more rosaries.
That's right. That's true. Or you could have a snack. Maybe there's a snack or two you could recommend to us to where we keep handy in the car.
Or you could just listen to Catholic Community Radio.
Can't go wrong there.
A snack to keep handy in the car? Right. It's too hot to keep a snack handy in the car, Damien. Oh. What do you keep in your car?
No, mixed nuts, man. Nothing like hot mixed nuts.
Okay.
Girl. Pecans and cashews. Hey, talk to me. I'll fill you in.
A little mac and cheese.
Nothing chocolate, though. That's for sure. So, no. Jeff, what do you have in store for us today?
Well, you know, it's funny. I woke up this morning. I heard this news story that all the chickens and pigs in Louisiana are on the run. They are trying to get out of town run away from all those Cajuns and them gumbo pots they got.
Uh-huh.
And have y'all heard that?
I never heard that, but I could tell you what, they should be on the run because gumbo season is here.
I know. It's like it's the only thing I've heard people talking about the last few days. You know.
Oh, yeah?
Watching the news or catching the news online and these weather people, you know, the meteorologists talking about the cold front coming, and of course, here it's gumbo weather.
That's right.
And I thought we could talk a little gumbo this morning.
Well, let's do it. I am ready. I got my pen and paper handy.
Now I hope y'all are trying to find a way to get Gary some good gumbo when he comes down here. You know, working on that?
Yeah, well, Gabby,
we need to go out to lunch.
Yeah, Gabby was talking about that. We're gonna make sure we treat him right.
Yes.
That's good. None of this Progresso stuff. Okay?
No. No ragu or anything.
When we talk about gumbo, and I have a recipe that I can share with y'all, there's just a few tips, and I'm not, you know, every family's different. We all make gumbo down here, apparently, and everybody has their own recipe and all that, but there's just a few, I guess, tips or tricks that I've learned over the years, and I'm happy to share recipes with y'all. Y'all can post on Facebook or whatever. But a couple of things that are just, I mean, to me, it's like it's made all the difference in the world. One is the way that I make the roux is a little bit different. Now, when I cook, we're a family of six, and we are not scared at all about leftovers. You know, we are big on leftovers. So anytime I do a big soup or a gumbo or whatever, I'll make a big old pot.
Yeah.
And we can eat on that for a few days, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
even freeze it.
There's no reason. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make a little pot, I mean, gumbo is intense work, you know. So if you're going to make a little pot, you might as well make a big pot.
All right. I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
Make
the effort worth it. Make it stretch. But I used to be so cautious with the roux because, you know, that's the worst thing, to burn it. And what I have done since then is I've actually just gotten to where I don't move. I stay at that stove, and I use a whisk now, and I'm just whisking that thing away. And I usually add a little bit. I have the heat a little bit higher than I used to have it, and I use a little bit more flour than I used to use, and it just makes the process a lot faster.
Oh.
And it's just important, and what I've always told people, especially folks who've never made a gumbo before, is you just want to make sure that you're using an oil that is not going to burn easily. So, you know, I know for a long time it's like people would use like olive oil, just, you know, extra virgin olive oil to cook with like that. That's not the right thing to use, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have done things in the past where I like trying to save everything I can. Like I always save my leftover bits and pieces from chopping onions and garlic and bell peppers and carrots and parsley. All that stuff goes into the freezer in a big container, and I'll use it later for stock. Well, the same thing with chicken. You know, I like to cook whole chicken, so I save all the carcasses. Mm-hmm. We make stock with that. But I also have in the past taken the fat from those chickens and cooked that down and used that for a gumbo.
Hmm.
And that's amazing. You do the same thing. I had a friend of mine who has a farm who gave me some rendered goose fat before, and I've made a gumbo with that. So you could use all kind of stuff. Just make sure it's an oil with a high smoke point. And then for those who are maybe trying to get a little more healthy, you know, you can always just make a dry roux in the oven. Have you ever done that?
Never heard of it.
I have never. That sounds terrifying. How do you do that?
Well, it's a low and slow process. It takes longer. You know, but you could take the flour. Basically, what you're doing is you're taking flour on a lower heat in the oven. Take a single layer of flour on the bottom of a heavy. You could use like a big cast iron pot if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I use like a heavy cooking sheet.
Okay.
And just very slow over low heat, and you're going to stir every 15 minutes. It takes about an hour and a half. It's not a quick process. But what it does is it the same thing that a regular roux does. Because right, you're cooking a roux on the stove, and what you're doing is you're frying the flour. Right? You're cooking that down, and it's turning brown, we like to get it to dark chocolate, I mean, in my house at least. It's a thickener for the gumbo, but it also adds the color and it adds a nuttiness. The flavor is kind of a nuttiness to it that's unique for a gumbo.
And it's just the flour.
Right. Well, the same thing in the oven. If you're going to do it in the oven, it's the same thing. It just takes a longer time. You got to do it at a lower temperature. You got to stir it regularly every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But in about an hour and a half, you have that whole smell you get of making a roux in your house. You get that doing it in the oven, just the flour.
Okay.
And you can take it and stick it into, I like to put them in a big glass jar if I'm not using all of it. You can stick that in the fridge and it'll keep for months.
Okay.
So you make it one time and you can use it for months. It's a pretty neat thing.
And then when you go to make the gumbo, let's say with that, you put water and then you just add it to the water, stir it in, or what?
Well, you can do it. You can do it in different ways. You don't have to recook it or anything.
Right.
The way that I personally have preferred to use it is when I am sauteing my veggies, right, my onions and bell peppers and garlic. And, you know, people at this point are going to say, onions, bell peppers, and celery. Mm-hmm. But see, me and celery have this thing, and I've been trying to get the people, right, who have made this a committee. I've been trying to get them to take celery out of the Louisiana Trinity and put garlic in there instead.
But
so far, they haven't wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So cooking that down, and at the end of that, once they're cooked down, I'll add the roux then throw my sausage in. Right, the dry roux. Put the dry roux in there, stir that up, add the sausage, and then go from there. Right?
Okay.
The stock and the chicken and all that.
Okay. So in that process, does that take any more time other than the normal time to make the gumbo? In other words,
if you've already made that dry roux.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Let's say you've made it before, you're ready to go. I mean, that's the two things that take so long about gumbo, well, there's three, actually. One is the roux, right? You got to stand there. You can't do anything else. You got to watch that baby. If you got it on the stove, you got to watch it. It'll burn. Chopping. There's a lot of chopping and then prep that's involved ahead of time. But if you could do that early, some of the stuff you can kind of multitask. And then the hard part is just waiting for that thing to cook down, because at that point you're so hungry from all that work. You got to wait for it to cook.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I tell you what, you gave us some good insight. I had never made a dry roux before, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to attempt it. And we're so glad that we are ready for gumbo season. Jeff Young, thank you for joining us on Wake Up This Morning. Folks, it's 7:45. Welcome back to Wake Up. It's 7:48 on this Friday morning. So glad you could join us. Our next guest is Jennifer Prather. She is going to talk to us about theology of the body, training in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And Jennifer, good morning and welcome to Wake Up.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
So tell us about the classes that you're going to be spearheading. I think it's entitled Image and Gift, Exploring the Anthropology of St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body. It's a long title, but I'm sure it's a lot to learn, too.
Yeah, it is. Both are true. Both are a long title and a lot to learn. So, yeah, so the diocese, the curriculum, Image and Gift is an original curriculum that I wrote based on John Paul II's Theology of the Body. And I saw it as a need just kind of in our culture. And there were some students, I work at St. Joseph's Academy in Baton Rouge, and there were some students who had a real thirst to learn more about theology of the body. And I had, at the same time, I was also taking courses for my graduate degree in theology. And I had a teacher who had us read the original text of John Paul II. Catechesis, which we now call Theology of the Body, and I realized that it just is such an amazing answer to so many of the pains that people are experiencing in our society today, because if what he offers us is an anthropology of the human person, And questions like, what am I and who am I and what is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What is my identity? These are the kinds of questions he answers in his original writings. And so I wrote the curriculum based on his original writings and started teaching it at SJA. And the girls that I teach would go home and they talk to their parents. And then suddenly I had adults coming to me and saying, hey, we want to learn what they're learning in your class.
Hmm.
And so I redeveloped the curriculum for adults and then started teaching them. And eventually that led to a partnership with the Diocese of Baton Rouge and the online classes, which I now offer for credit for teachers and parish workers who are going to get their certification. And so that's how all of that evolved and came about. And so now for the diocese, for that course, and we welcome leisure learners too. You don't have to be taking the course for credit.
Mm-hmm.
But now the online courses are offered in 10 one-hour live sessions on Zoom. And we do, in 10 hours, we can't do justice completely to the entire book that John Paul wrote. But we do a deeper overview, but from the perspective of anthropology,
mm-hmm.
and what he and the fullness of the message that he offered.
So, how many? Since it's Zoom, do you have a limited number of people who can attend?
Well, so far, no.
Okay.
We don't. I have the upgraded account on Zoom, so I could take as many as could come in. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good. So tell us a little bit about how the course is set up, because, again, they can get certified, correct, if you are a teacher for Catholic sexual morality certification.
Correct. If they're in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, the way it works is they attend the classes live on Zoom with me, and then the diocese, after they meet, either they meet the requirements of attendance, or if they have to miss a few classes and they have to do a little assignment to make it up. But ultimately, once they complete the classes with me, then the Diocese of Baton Rouge will issue them a credit certificate.
Okay. And there's 10 online sessions, right? Tell us
That's
the time
correct.
And the cost. Okay.
Yeah, sure. So the sessions are $50 to register plus the cost of the textbook, which is just the original Catechesis of John Paul II, which is about $30. And the course, we actually have already started this semester. We were actually supposed to talk a few weeks ago, but mm-hmm. Hurricane Ida interrupted
mm-hmm.
us. So
yeah.
We're already in session for this semester, but the classes are actually offered every semester. So we'll have a new set of sessions starting in January. But it's usually held on Wednesday or Thursday nights. This semester, we're doing Thursday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. And I try to be very conscious of the time, of starting on time and ending on time, because I know that time is a gift that many people are holding on to very tightly. So we definitely want to respect
yes.
people's time. But so it's 1 hour a week in the evening after work. And I just send out the link for Zoom, and they just click and come on.
Jennifer, you know, like you said, we were supposed to talk a couple of weeks ago, but Hurricane Ida interrupted that interview. And so we've missed we've missed three sessions. Can
yeah.
we go back and watch them?
Yeah, if there are people interested in joining us in this semester, I can catch people up, because the videos, the classes, each class is recorded with the permission of the participants for that reason, in case somebody has to be absent. So that way they mm-hmm. can then access the videos later. So if anyone listening wants to join in late, I can certainly catch you up.
Okay, wonderful. And where can they go to sign up? And is it too late to sign up?
It's not too late to sign up. If you go to the Imaging Gift website, it's imaginggift.com. And click on classes, you'll see the registration is right at the top of the page that says Imaging Gift Diocese of Baton Rouge. And you just click mm-hmm. on register, and it'll take you to the form to sign up.
Jennifer, you know, I took a theology of the body class in high school for religion. It was one of the things we had to take before we graduated. And it was a completely different thing to what society is telling us of. Far as when it comes to human sexuality and with immorality and what the church teaches and what society is trying to tell young people, why is it important for people to be informed about something like this?
Well, you know, one of the things that I learned about theology of the body, which is really helpful, is that, you know, moral theology is about making decisions, you know, using our freedom to do what we're made for, you know, what God gives us freedom so that we can choose the good. So ultimately we can choose him. And what I found is that in theology of the body, it's actually called a presupposition to moral theology, which means it comes before we can know how we ought to act. We have to know who and what we are, right? Because action, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, follows being, right? So What I am is going to then point me in the direction of how I ought to act. And I think that whenever we look at John Paul, what he actually wrote and what he actually did, he offers to the church a complete story about humanity, a complete fullness of the anthropology of the human person. And what he's doing is trying to show us through scripture who and what we are. And once we know who and what we are, then we know how we ought to act. And I think that's what not only our young people, but what all people right now in our society and our culture are searching for. Who am I? What am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Why am I embodied, right? So
yes.
I think and that's what Theology of the Body does. It answers all those questions.
Wonderful. Jennifer Prather with Theology of the Body Train in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It's on our calendar at our website, ccradio.live. Wow, Damien, jam-packed hour.
Yes, on the move. So we're going to wrap up with our prayer to St. Joseph. Loving St. Joseph, faithful follower of Jesus Christ, I raise my heart to you to implore your powerful intercession in obtaining from the divine heart of Jesus all the graces necessary for my spiritual welfare, particularly the grace of a happy death. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Amen. Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.